This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This service is so different from the first two. You know, you ever come to the service on the vigil Saturday night or Sunday morning? Got all this fire stuff up here? You ever seen that thing there? I said, I've never found a church more creative in trying to defraud church insurance and burn down your church. So, I'm calling them and telling them. So I said to Father William, I said, well, shouldn't you maybe have a fire extinguisher around? He said, no. Why would you do that? I mean, the spirit coming down on the church and setting it on fire. Church renovation 101. This really is a remarkable day when we remember all of the things that Jesus did, but particularly that of all of this goodness and love and creation and everything that he did was only to set in motion that what he was about would continue to perpetuate itself for all people in all times. And then the great comedy of errors is that he commissioned us to do that. And if you don't think that's funny, you ain't ever been a part of a group to try to motivate them to get to do anything, even for an hour, let alone for eternity. He turns it over to us, who are, of course, perfect, those who are perfect, please sit down. But he gave us something that was the quintessential thing that permeated him, that then radiated from everything that he did and was. The nature of the Holy Spirit, the power in the Holy Spirit, is not one of power as we describe it that has to do with political power or economic power or the power of will or intellect. It is the power of giving of ourselves to somebody and something else that's much bigger than us. This is very, very difficult to do, because no matter who you are in the church, we human beings always have a way to going back to self-preservation. Moving to this selflessness is really tough business, isn't it? It really is tough business, especially when you're tired, which is almost always when the Holy Spirit calls you to do something that you don't want to do for somebody else. For somebody else. But let me tell you kind of a story, because, I mean, remember the collect that we read simply said, you know, this gift is for every race and nation, and that says something very important, because we would tend to think more often than not the Spirit is for us and like us people, but it's for all people. It's for church people, but particularly for those that are not church people, which says a lot about how we spend our time, which is mostly the longer we're in the church, the more we spend with church people, and it's hard to convert the people who are converted when those who really want to and need to know the yearning of the Holy Spirit are outside of the church. You should take the gospel to all people everywhere, and sometimes we're too much inside and we miss the beat of the Spirit outside. But to illustrate this just a little bit, there was a doctoral dissertation. Let's hear it for doctoral dissertations. Any doctors in here? You got there working on that stuff? Yeah. Good, bless you. Him? I'm glad this is the first time I mentioned that. I wouldn't want to boost his ego too much. Ego. And so there was this dissertation. So here's how it was set up. They'd have one person up front tapping a tune that they knew, and then the group of people would then be surveyed to see what tune it was. And so someone would go up front, and they would tap out a tune. You know what that is? I don't know what it is either. It's a hallelujah chorus. Hallelujah. No. The interesting thing is that when they surveyed the tapper as to what their expectations were of people hearing it, they thought 50% of the people listening would interpret it. But the reality was only 2% did. Which says a lot about our preaching the gospel to all people. So you all know your preachers. That's what this day represents, right? Your preachers. In the St. Francis, don't get excited. I mean, there's actually studies have been shown that the most terrifying thing for people to do is stand up front and talk. So, but St. Francis didn't get you off the hook, because he said, preach the gospel at all times and occasionally use words. Because that's how it works. Well, what this day represents is the tap of the Holy Spirit upon our souls is something that we have heard and incorporated. Among all the tunes that go on in our lives, we finally connected with actually what was birthed with inside of us to begin with in Korea. We're born with a propensity to hear the tapping of God's Spirit. And we finally connected. So many times there's a dissonance when we're looking for the harmony to come together in that. And at some point in time, it connects, right? That's why you're here. At some point in time, you know, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Let the ones to him belong. He is weak, but we are strong. What the Spirit represented, what Jesus represented, was everything in his life, unlike ours, really, unlike ours, was focused and determined by that Jesus loves me. This I know. God loves me. And I am here, and the message of my life, the tap that the Spirit has on all the souls of all people, is the same. It's not selfish, but selfless, as you exhibit by the cross. There is nothing more powerful than going to those that hate you and dying for you. Instead of being confrontive, to be sacrificial. Nothing changes the world more than that. We know that from Mahatma Gandhi and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Nothing changes more than the tapping of the Spirit of Jesus loves me, this I know, by watching it radiate from our lives. It is the quintessential kind of thing that we do. And you know, the tapping is for all people. Sometimes, some of the worst people, the Spirit is still tapping. Now, their lives may be filled with all kinds of other things, and anger and hurt and all kinds of other tunes, heavy metal stuff. I mean, it may be going on in their lives, and many tunes being played. But for every human being, the Holy Spirit is always tapping there, usually quiet. The still, small voice of God is what it's called throughout the centuries. And you know that, right? And what the Spirit's doing in us, in you, the preacher, is what the other person is looking for is a way to connect a harmony between what your life is tapping and in all the noise, that still small voice of God tapping the same tune. 95% of people who come into a deeper relationship and are introduced to Jesus Christ in a meaningful way come through, of course, TV. Yeah. Through crusades. Yeah. Through newspapers. Books? No. Devotional? No. No. Whatever you have in mind? No. Through church? No. Because they're not here. They're not here. I mean, you have heard God's voice to invite them, but you didn't do it, did you? It's worth hearing. A little bit of criticism, that's all I can do. I'm not going to do anymore. Because the tapping of the voice is going on in their lives, they're looking for somebody else that they can connect with, and 95%, basically, of people come into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ because they see a relationship in the people around them that connect them with the gospel of Jesus Christ that is authentic. That's why we are the bearers of the preaching of the gospel of Christ. Always has been, always will. There's no other methodology. I mean, you're doing a good job by Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I mean, you're going to have a whole bunch of kids around here, and that's good. And you got a framework in which to do something. But you know where the difference makes in the kids' lives? One-on-one. It's really one-on-one. And they're reading you. I mean, you're doing a lot of stuff, but they're reading you. They're reading you. They're listening. Can they hear the tap, tap, tap of the tune that is beating in their own heart and waiting to be awakened? That's the whole point of what's going on. There's a story about George. I'll just share with you briefly. George was born a slave, so it obviously was some time ago. Although those of you that feel like you're in a house upside down feel like you're a slave also, and you probably are in some way or shape or form. But George was really physically born into slavery. So he had a lot of things, you know, stacked up against him. But God had given him a not only an exquisite intellect, but a curiosity and a humility. It was part of what God birthed with inside of him. And so he would wander in the woods and spend lots of quiet time. And he would wander in the woods and he would ask the question, what is this about? What is God doing in creation? Well, to make a long story short, he did get an education. The Iowa State Agricultural College, and he taught for 47 years at Tuskegee Institute in Tuskegee, Alabama. And of course, you know from your history, that's George Washington Carver, one of the most outstanding Americans ever to have lived. Invented over 300 marketable inventions for peanuts, for commerce. Taught students for 47 years. But let me read you some of the things he invented, by the way, with peanuts. So, flour, instant coffee, shampoo, rubber, cosmetics, axle grease, mayonnaise, and hundreds of other products. You know how he got there? Because at the age of 10, in a barn on the property of which he was living, he said, the Spirit, the invisible God, just came to me at the age of 10. He heard the tapping of the Spirit upon his life. He didn't know all the words to put to it, but he knew what it was. And his prayer was constantly, Lord, as he would say, quoted, Mr. Creator, why did you make the peanut? And out of that listening came these 300. It wasn't just out of his genius. It was out of the Spirit teaching him, Jesus loves me. But then he gave him a whole lot of answers as to how he can put that into practical terms. But here is what drove his life. Here's what drove his life. He said, I want my students to find Jesus. I want my students to find Jesus. How I long for each one to walk and talk with the great Creator through the things He has created. George Washington Carver is really not on a different plane than we are in being able to preach the gospel in all things that we do. I'm sure he didn't stand up in front of his class and preach the gospel in the ways that I'm doing now. But he stood up in front of his class, and his heart always radiated that beating of the Holy Spirit that convinced people, a person again and again and again, I hear it, okay, I'll follow. And how many thousands of students permeated the United States with his creativity and his inquisitiveness and his drive to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's our calling. That's what the church is all about. It's not necessarily in here. It's all over the place. I mean, it's just not what you're doing here today. I mean, that's good. That's good. Don't stop. But most of the real work is going to be listening to other people's hearts, and sometimes in people that are not very pretty, listening to what is almost silenced is the beating of God's tap upon their heart and awakening it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.